Welcome to the Overreact podcast.
And in a society that puts women in a box,
let's overreact.
Let's overreact indeed. Hi, ovaries. Hi, girls.
Hey.
It's your host, Monica Mohoya.
It's your girl, Angela Wamboy.
And it's your girl, Lash Angela. We are back at Kofisi Offices, our favorite spot, the media center in 9 West Building, where we get to record our weekly Overreact podcast. So if you are a content creator, we definitely recommend you come and check it out and sign up to use their spaces.
And today, girls, we have an extra ovary, extra ovaries in the building. You know how we do. So today we have the most beautiful Amina Farah, a lawyer, an entrepreneur, a women's health and wellness advocate, a certified fitness instructor, we can see why, yoga enthusiast, and who embraces midlife. Introduce yourself. You have so many accolades and I cannot even tell half of your story, so take it away.
Oh, thank you, Monica.
Welcome.
So, I mean, I think you've captured most of what I use to introduce myself. So there's a joke that I'm a fallen lawyer because I don't practice law, but I'm a lawyer, but not practicing.
Okay.
I went into business. I did some L'Oreal products distribution, and then I went into the restaurant business. At one point, I had 3 restaurants, and then COVID came along and just kind of gave me that knockout, pow, right? And so now I'm in transition. I've always been interested in women's health and wellness. Mm-hmm. In fact, when I came home, so I lived in the U.S. for quite a while, and I came home about 10 years ago. And initially, I wanted to open a gym, spa, wellness center for women.
Ooh,
I didn't do it.
Yeah.
I had a detour. Mm-hmm. I went into the restaurant business. And I feel like now I'm back on track. It may look different, mm-hmm. but I'm definitely back in looking at women's health and wellness.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And but it's all starting in the kitchen anyways.
That's true.
Yeah. Yeah. So my personal, and right now I'm focusing on women 40s plus, 40s, 50s, because I've gone through the menopause journey. I went through it a bit early. So I realize there's not much information, no support, people are not talking about it. And so I said, no, we need to change this. We need to talk about it. Women need to be aware, even women like yourselves who will eventually be going through this in, you know, 15 years maybe.
Thanks.
So that's what I'm passionate about, women's health and wellness. I'm really excited about this conversation and just looking at how we can live the second half of our lives better.
Oh, I love
full of energy and vitality.
And that's why we had you on the show, because we've been wanting to have somebody who can educate us. We had a private conversation outside, and that's why you're here, is like that conversation about why are women not menopause savvy? So we know what to do when we get periods. We know we get trained for that. Like you go to school and hopefully your school will, you know, educate that, or your mom or somebody. But we experience this period and we have babies if we want to have children or what have you. But then there's this phase in our lives called the big M. I love that you described it that. So menopause, and we don't know. I've been fortunate to have that conversation with my mom, who scared me about like certain aspects, and I'm not quite sure which stage of life I like. So, I mean, tell us a bit about your journey when it comes to menopause, because there's menopause and then there's premenopause, and what's like the difference around it.
Okay, so I want to say that I think the reason women have not been talking about menopause is because it's an admission that you're aging, okay? And I think it's time to change the narrative around aging. So we know that we live in a youth-obsessed culture, okay? And so part of what myself and women who are talking about menopause want to do is to say, listen, women, just because your fertility has ended does not mean you can't make a contribution to society. Mm. So this is kind of rooted in that whole paternalistic society. So there's a change happening. So I just want to touch that, and we could talk about that for days. Mm-hmm. But let me just go ahead and say that I feel like there's this new movement of women talking about menopause and aging and embracing midlife. So regarding the phases, which you want me to get into right away, so it's actually called perimenopause, not premenopause. Uh-huh. This is a different terminology. Uh-huh. And peri is from the Greek word on or around. So perimenopause is the time leading up to menopause. And it can be anywhere from 2 to 10 years, depending on your own family history. And how do you know? You talk to your mother. So look, Angela, Lush, your mother has already spoken to you about it. So the change, the transition, as I said, can be anywhere from 2 to 10 years.
Okay.
Perimenopause generally will start in your early 40s, and the average age of menopause is 51. But menopause is technically one day. It's the day when you have had no periods for 12 months. That's the day you hit menopause. And then the day after, you're postmenopausal, right? So postmenopausal is now you've not had a period for 12 months. You're saying you're in menopause, the big M, hello, and then you go into postmenopausal. So for me, 51 is the average age. It happened to me in my early 40s. So I hit menopause, what we call early menopause. And it's important to have this conversation because it's tied to fertility. And that's not a whole other, you know, discussion as well. So my generation of women, we were all taught to go for our career and, you know, for our goals and have marriage or families a bit later. So I see this with several of my classmates and women who went to school with me. We waited a bit longer, not realizing that there's also perimenopause. But then there are other women who've had early menopause. And then there's also premature menopause. So premature menopause is if you have menopause before the age of 40. And then early menopause is if you have it before the age of 45. So they have some cases. They have one case in the UK of a young lady who was 18.
What?
Who started having menopausal symptoms because she has primary ovarian insufficiency, which is now a medical diagnosis where your ovaries fail. So it's a small percentage, but it exists.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's all related to your ovaries, right? So I think for myself, I have primary ovarian insufficiency, and mine happened in my late 30s. Yeah. So when I was in my 40s, early 40s, I was going for fertility treatments, and nobody's telling me, yo, too late, mm-hmm. nothing happening there. Right.
Oh.
And this is what for me is, I think, a bit disappointing, because I feel like the medical fraternity is not paying attention to this transition in women. Mm-hmm. So my platform, which is Fabulous Living, is a platform where I really want to do awareness and knowledge around perimenopause, menopause, the transition, early menopause, premature menopause, and then also just advocate for better midlife care, where you can go to your gynecologist or menopause specialist, which is what I think we need to have, who can then advise you how to live better for the next phase of your life.
How did you, you've talked about the different stages. I guess the next thing I'd want to know is, there could be somebody who's listening. Mm-hmm. How's she going to know that perhaps this is not normal?
Yeah.
This is something that you need to get checked, like early menopause, what am I going to detect in my body?
So probably lack of periods. If you don't have regular periods when you're in your 30s, you need to kind of have that looked at. Yeah.
She's having a moment.
Yes. And then, and you might even have some of the menopause. So perimenopause, let's go back to perimenopause.
Okay.
Perimenopause and the symptoms around it is when you are going through the transition, and what happens is your estrogen starts dipping. And estrogen is like the super hormone in women's bodies. It gives you the waistline. It makes your skin look like, I look at you guys, your skin is soft, smooth, glowing, because you have lots of estrogen, right? Compared to me, right?
Girl, I have a story. My testosterone is like 3 times. I probably should be having a beard. But story for another day. So I was making a face because you talked about not having your periods in your 30s should be an alarm. I think I never thought about it that way. And someone who wants to be a mom. So that's, it brings everything home. So
yeah.
I think it starts with this conversation, and it begins with ovaries, man.
Yes.
The other thing you might want to look at is probably, I don't know if you've heard of PCOS.
I'm on the onset and I'm managing.
Okay, so
this is getting very personal now.
but this is the thing, is that we as women just need to speak about all these changes we're going through, because we can then give information to other women who don't know what's happening with their body. And for me, when I was going through menopause, it was a lonely journey. I had no information. I just knew I had problems with my periods. I was going for fertility treatments because I wanted to have a baby. Wasn't really working. I didn't want to go extreme, because there's extreme things you can do. I said, if it happens this way, it does. If it doesn't, I'm okay. I've gotten to acceptance around that, right? So I then I was also going through, I was running 3 restaurants at one point, life challenges, relationship challenges, and I felt like I was losing my mind in my mid-40s. And this is part of the symptoms, because the estrogen is going down, as is your progesterone. So the 3 main sex hormones for women are estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone. And yes, we have testosterone as well. It's related to our libido and, you know, things like that. So those 3 are the sex hormones. And when you're going through your period, there's estrogen, then progesterone helps kind of lining of your uterus. If you don't have a baby, it helps shed, right? So the change is happening through your 40s. You'll start to feel different symptoms. So there is weight gain around the belly, specifically around the belly. That is a loss of estrogen. And then the upper body as well. Brain fog. There's a big impact to the brain where you start to forget. I call it menopause brain when I'm joking around, but it's actually a real thing. Loss of words sometimes, forgetfulness, not feeling like myself, even some light form of depression, anxiety. Then there are other symptoms like anger and rage. I mean, I think maybe young women can say, I see my mother just has become more angry.
We didn't know my mom. Do you remember when my mom was around for a while and we were taking her in and out of the hospital? Didn't know our mom for a whole year. She was this angry woman, just keeping it to herself. And she never wanted, because of course African households, you don't want to talk about these things with your daughters. So she want to go through it either with her sisters or her mother, not the daughters. So we were, you know, there walking on eggshells and wondering, what's up with this woman?
Because those dips are so, like, it's such an extreme change to your body. You're used to estrogen, and then you have these like ups and downs. You can even have like heavier periods. We call them like crime scene periods, so heavy.
What a name.
Yes. And you can become anemic because of overbleeding.
Yes. Then you can get like more like severe PMS symptoms, joint pains, sleep disturbances. There is a long list, and I don't want people to hear it and be like, oh my God, is that what I have to look forward to, right? It's just about awareness, and different women get different things. Yeah. So I will say at this point that I actually did a survey in Kenya, because I felt like a lot of the data we're getting about menopause is from the West.
Yes.
That's where the conversation's happening. Mm-hmm. And even then, they're only demanding it now with this, like, I feel like a revolution.
We talked about it.
Davina McCall's documentary. Yeah. So what's happening is I'm going to have menopause brain moment right now. I did the survey. So what I did is I said, okay, I want to know what's happening with African women, specifically Kenyan women and other women, African women in general, but I'm starting with Kenyan women. And I reached out to some women in the diaspora who I know. And I did a survey to see what are the top symptoms for women. I also wanted to know if there was like awareness, just knowledge awareness. And it showed me that some women are doing research, no medical support whatsoever. That question, have you received any information from your doctor or gynecologist? None, zero. Mm-hmm. It's usually internet or friends and family. Mm-hmm. And then there was a question about... If you're lucky, yeah. So, and the survey, we went through all the symptoms and I kind of categorized them. So the top symptom in African women is weight gain around the belly. I think in women in the UK, it's not as profound as it is in African women because we're just built differently. They may have a little bit of gain, but we tend to have more. And the second symptom was brain fog. It's a brain related because most parts of the body have what's called estrogen receptors. So they need estrogen, the brain, the bones, the heart, everything, all the organs. So the brain related symptoms are like brain fog, just that lack of focus, forgetfulness, not feeling like myself, grappling for words. You know, that one is, it can shake your confidence. It can really shake your confidence. So that was the number two symptom. The number three was around joint pain, muscle pains. Then there was sleep disturbances. And only number four and number five were about Thai, was hot flashes and night sweats. Okay. And that's usually cited as the top symptom in the West, is the hot flashes and night sweats. It was just interesting to see. I want to have data that's about representative data from and about African women. So this survey, I was very excited. I didn't even do much marketing, and I got 227 responses in a few days, which shows me that
we need
the information, and I'm going to do the survey on a larger scale. So I think knowledge is power.
It is. Definitely. It really is.
It's true. Yeah.
I can't. I mean, I've learned so much in like 5 minutes.
good.
I'm like thinking about so many things, but yeah, go on.
So another question that we have is, clearly there are myths and stigma around menopause conversation. So can you help us demystify some of the misinformation that currently exists about menopause?
Okay. So I think the big myth, which I feel is why people are not having conversations, that your life is over and you're no longer relevant, right? That's kind of a societal myth. I hope that's where you want me to go, because I think if you have other examples of myths, feel free to jump in. But I think there's just whole thing of where nobody wants to talk about this big M, that everybody, more than half of the world's population, is going to experience it. It's not a maybe.
Yeah,
it's going to happen.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because there's no one in this world.
All women are going to go through menopause.
So what if I don't get periods? Actually, question. If I didn't get periods.
At all? That's an interesting one. I don't know. Do you know anybody who doesn't have periods at all?
For like barren women.
It doesn't mean they don't
have periods. Okay.
They do.
Okay.
It's just that maybe it ends early. And that's that situation of primary ovarian insufficiency.
Yeah.
Your ovaries kind of fail early.
Okay.
So you will have some type of period because you have some estrogen in your body and some progesterone. It's just not enough to give you viable eggs.
So when I was doing my research about menopause, there's a lady called Davina McCall. Mm-hmm. She's a big UK host, and she does a lot of random documentaries and tries to break. And when she did one centered on menopause, all of a sudden, like almost within a month, there was a charity dedicated to menopause, which goes to show that if you're already getting 227 responses on your survey, if you did a lot more, there would be a lot more changes. So, and one of the things, I guess, when she was discussing or deciding to do this show, she said, everyone was like, oh, this is a bit unsurvey. We shouldn't be having this conversation.
Right.
And I think that's the problem, is that having you, like what we're doing right now, is important. Because we break those challenges. But how do we make it less scary? Because I'm just like, maybe in my next life, I might just want to come back.
If childbirth wasn't enough, period pains wasn't enough, the clock was not enough.
It's
like, when is the society going to leave us alone?
Mm-hmm. No, it's a privilege to be a woman. Can I just say that?
Yes.
So let's focus. Let's put on the right lens to this conversation.
Right.
Okay. It is a privilege to be a woman.
Absolutely.
We go through all these changes because we are the ones who can handle it. Let's be real. Okay. Mm-hmm. We're the ones who can handle childbirth. We're the ones who can handle building families, raising children. So we can handle the change. So the good news is you can live a beautiful, energetic, vibrant midlife. But you have to be very purposeful around it. It's just like anything else in life, right? So I think if you become aware that you're going through the symptoms, then you know you need to have some type of intervention. So there's lifestyle kind of interventions. What does that mean? Nutrition, exercise, sleep, stress management, self-care. You know, women are always running on empty through, say, the 30s and 40s, especially when you start having children and you're raising a family. So I feel like midlife tells you, whoa, stop. Now it's time for you. Okay?
Interesting.
It's just like an opportunity to just change the way we're living. And if you don't change, then you're going to go, you're going to hit the ground. Like you're just going to crash, rather. So I think the menopause change is just your body saying, okay, yes, I'm losing estrogen and progesterone, but I need to do certain things. And let me throw this in. I think menopause about 100 years ago made perfect sense, right? Because women had children, they raised their children, they didn't live as long, so they went through menopause in 50. Life expectancy wasn't as long, right? So we didn't think about it then. It was very natural. But you know, with now evolution and kind of like society growth and just going through industrial revolution, agrarian revolution, etc., life expectancy is increasing. So women actually have a higher life expectancy than men, correct?
Yes.
Generally.
Yes.
So I think the statistic now is in the 70s, but I know generally women live to at least 80. Mm-hmm. Some may live to 90. Mm-hmm. So the question is, how do we live the second half of our lives vibrantly? So lifestyle, when I say lifestyle changes, nutrition, things like eating food that have phytoestrogens. Phytoestrogens are in foods and they kind of are similar to estrogen that is in your body, like soy food, soy products, flaxseed, okay, which is great to put like crushed flaxseed in your smoothies. Eating foods, with fatty foods, healthy fats, because that's for your brain. Like,
does that help you with the fog brain?
Yes.
Okay.
So definitely eating like fatty fish, mm-hmm, salmon, omena, mm-hmm, you know, making sure you also have vitamin D sources in your food, you know, like the oils, flaxseed oil, which is in omena, avocado, amazing, right, for nutritionally. And on this platform that I'm creating, I want to really dedicate information around nutritional support. And we'll do some collaborations with some well-known nutritionists so that they can really break down how women should be eating. But, you know, the Mediterranean diet is always cited as a really good diet for women. And that has a lot of healthy fats in it, even olives, you know, things like that. Okay. And then vegetables, like all the different colors, you know, just think green pepper, red pepper, yellow pepper with some olive oil, stir fry, with some fish or chicken, really good. Cutting down on a lot of the carbohydrates, it's not only a health thing, it's also just for longevity, right? We're not saying don't eat it, just eat less of it,
yeah?
And eat the whole grain healthy foods. So that's kind of like nutrition. Then there's hormone replacement therapy, which is a bit more controversial. And I know Davina McCall in the documentary brings it up because in the UK, the NHS, the National Health System, was denying women mm-hmm. coverage of hormone replacement therapy after a study done in 2001. So they've been challenging that. And if you want to start taking, like I take hormones, I take estrogen and progesterone, and I recently started doing a bit of testosterone.
Okay.
I'm testing. It's a very specific thing for women. You have to see what works for your body. So I'm a bit frustrated that it doesn't exist here in Kenya, which is why another reason I've created the platform. And when I say advocate for better midlife care, I want women to have a choice. If I say I want to get hormones, it's my choice, but I need to have the information. My menopause, my way. Okay.
I like that.
Yeah.
Wow. Like someone who struggles with hormonal imbalance, mm-hmm. You are talking about affordability and access to these vital, hormones.
Yeah.
For example, if I have to take something called berberine and inositol sometime because of management of PCOS, I have to send them out in the US because here you go to one of the, you know, superfood shop, it's not even like affordable at all.
Correct.
Yeah, and I love your approach. And actress Julie Waters said, if you deal with menopause in a healthy fashion, then you can come out the other side a better person. Just how much is that statement important for a woman in the perimenopause
yeah.
in the, you know, in the middle of the big M and post. How important is that? Especially
just
here,
say it one more here. Time. I just want you to read it one more time.
Okay.
Just because it's simple, it's powerful.
It's symbolic. Yeah.
Yeah. If you deal with menopause in a healthy version, fashion, then you can come out the other side a better person.
Correct.
Yeah. She said that as a result of that shift, she gained more energy during her menopause period. And yeah, so she's a whole new person because of this approach.
I agree. And yeah. that's my story too, I can say. When I was in my mid-40s, I was deep in that menopause, right? So I had already gone through the transition. I didn't understand. And then a couple of years ago when COVID happened and I was sitting at home, I had time to do some research, right? I was reading about all this stuff around menopause and I was like, oh my God, this is what I was going through. Not a single doctor has ever said this to me. So I had gained a lot of weight around my belly. I'm working on it. I've been lifting weights. Exercise is another important mm-hmm. intervention. And it's really resistance training is critical because you need to build the muscle mass for women and to reduce the body fat.
A question when you yes. were going through it as you're like helping yourself. As I just had a thought, especially when you're experiencing early menopause, did you talk about it with your girlfriends? Were you scared to?
No.
Do you talk about it right now with your girlfriends?
So now we talk about it a lot. Let me tell you even this funny thing. So I just started gaining weight, right? So here I am in my early 40s. I was lean. I used to teach, you know, group fitness classes when I came from the States. I moved here when I was just about 41. And then I stopped doing it. And then by my mid-40s, it's like, doo-doo. So one of my friends, I asked her recently, Valentine, mm-hmm. I said, what did you think when you just saw me gaining all that weight? She's like, oh, Mimi, I thought you were eating your feelings. That's what she said. Because I was in a, is that crazy? So people don't like to talk when they see you going through some radical change. Like, oh, my goodness, right? So we didn't speak about it, and that's what I want to change. We need to have these conversations. So I was going through this, like, clueless, and then when I started doing my research, I'm like, oh, my God, like, women need to know this. And that's part of that whole thing of you can go through it in a healthy manner if you have the information. If you don't have the information, mm-hmm. people will just say she's just cranky, she's angry, I don't know what's going. Let's avoid.
Do you know her feelings?
Yeah, and a lot of okay, maybe in Kenya people don't get divorced as much, but a lot of divorces happen around this time because women are like, I'm done dealing with this, right? I'm not happy here. You're not fulfilling my needs. You know, we're done. But it's the hormonal change. And if I think, I also think that there's an opportunity for men to learn about mm. this so they understand the women in their lives, particularly their wives.
Yeah. Allyship. We always big advocates of allyship. And at what stage do we start having these conversations? Because if someone told me that, you know, because you missed your periods or you had irregular periods, it could potentially affect who you become in your 30s and potentially maybe in my 40s. I hope I don't eat my feelings.
Definitely. It's been such an amazing conversation. And we just want to say a big thank you, Amina, for being here and overreacting with us. And we've learned so much. I don't know about you ladies, but there's so many things about menopause I did not know.
I think we're going to have an extension of this conversation off air.
Yes.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So before we let you leave, what's your parting shot for women evolving into the stage of premenopause or menopause? And what would you tell them?
I would tell them that it's not a hopeless phase of your life. It's an opportunity for you, just like when you were younger, to learn about the changes happening to you. You can get the information. You can get the support. I think once you have the mindset right and acknowledge that you're going through the change, then you can make it a pleasant change and do what's necessary and come out on the other side excited, energetic, for what else you can do, because we still can be vibrant. We have a lot to contribute to society still. Many women are starting businesses in their 40s and 50s. So there is a bright light at the end of the tunnel.
I love that. I love that. You have been listening to the Overreact Podcast, a space where we openly ask tough questions, and have hard conversations to trigger change.
And indeed, we have been talking about everything ovaries. Do make sure that you're listening to this particular episode on Capital FM at 10:30 EAT.
And you can follow us and interact with us at SisterSpeaks254 on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. And you have been listening to your host, Lush Angela.
It's your girl, Angela Wamboy.
And this is Mo. Adios.
Let's overreact.